This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
It's draft day upon us. Chris Carlin in for Alan Hahn. Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. Brought to you, as always, by Progressive Insurance, and all guests will appear via the Goodyear Hotline. The latest rumors, the latest scuttlebutt, the latest everything leading into the final hours of the draft. Right now, we welcome in Jeff Darlington, ESPN NFL insider, who joins us via the Goodyear Hotline. Jeff, what are we hearing? Is there anything really hot right now as we stand 7 hours away from the start of the draft?
I mean, it's all getting pretty hot, actually. Still, that 49ers at 3 is the most fascinating, intriguing aspect of this draft. If Kyle Shanahan, who was on to Mac Jones when he made this trade, goes to Trey Lance instead, that will be one not only that we analyze tonight, but one that we will analyze for years to come, always knowing that Kyle will be thinking about Mac Jones' success and failures in the NFL compared to Trey Lance. That one to me is still very fascinating.
We saw Teddy Bridgewater get moved yesterday. We're starting to hear rumors about maybe Julio Jones if the price is right. What other stars may be on the move draft night for draft compensation?
Well, those are the two big ones for sure. I mean, crazy thing, Julio, it's really interesting because he's essentially in control of the situation because of the way his contract is. So to me, it's going to be pretty difficult for them to find a way to move him on the clock in such a fast-paced situation. But no doubt, I mean, if the Ravens could make that happen, I absolutely see them finding that playmaker that they've been long seeking. You know, otherwise, I think that those are the names. I mean, that's really what we're looking for at this point.
So what about Mac Jones? If Mac Jones, who most people believe is ready to play, is going at 3, does that mean Jimmy G potentially can be on the clock, so to speak?
Yeah, so that's the thing too. Trey Lance is obviously the player that many of us believe will need a little bit of time, but there's others out there who say that. If the 49ers draft Trey Lance, it's because they believe he's going to be ready sooner than not. So either way, to me, it's interesting that the Jimmy stuff, Adam Schefter reporting today that it's a, quote, remote chance that Jimmy gets traded, that in the words of a 49ers source. That to me is surprising because I would think that if you are drafting a quarterback at 3rd overall, that you would be more apt to unload Garoppolo at this point. But I guess keep them on the list for sure. It's fascinating. And whether they can make that happen before the draft starts or after they make their pick at 3 will also make for some fascinating intrigue.
See, it means to me, at least reading the tea leaves from the outside, that if they're not trading Jimmy G, Jeff, that they're probably taking Trey Lance because they're counting on Lance having to be a guy that has to sit for a while before he can play.
Right, but you know what's crazy about that? I'm with you, for sure. The only thing that's interesting to me about that is, like, I mean, going into the season, after you make that decision to make the move to 3, and then go into the season with Jimmy Garoppolo as the lame duck quarterback from the start of the season, like, that's a weird deal, too. I mean, what happens? He made it to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Like, what happens if he does that again?
Yeah.
You know?
You can't move him,
how
right?
How weird and awkward will that be? Like, you're setting yourself up for a potentially terribly awkward situation.
Same situation in Green Bay, right?
Shuffle him out. Yeah, exactly.
This to me feels like they have completely mishandled it by not just waiting, because if they were counting on, let's just say they were counting on the Jets not being sold on Wilson when they made the move, and now they have to figure it out, why not just wait at that point to see how it plays out in front of you if you truly were comfortable with one of those guys before you give up 2 future first-round picks?
Well, the other – and to that end, what's weird about this to me is that, like they're picking three, but like to your point, we already know the Jags are going Trevor Lawrence. We know the Jets are going Zach Wilson. So there really needs to be no element of secrecy here. Like, which is why I actually do believe that they've been going back and forth on these guys. Because, like, they essentially hold the number one pick. They could say it, and nothing changes. So, like, that's a weird one to me. Unless in the last 48 hours, Roger Goodell has basically been like, hey, guys, keep it close to your vest. We need some intrigue on Thursday. But that, to me, is also strange that they're being so secretive about a pick that really requires no secrecy.
ESPN NFL reporter Jeff Darlington joining us via the Goodyear hotline on Bart and Hahn. Jeff, when you look at what the Falcons are potentially doing here at four, they could go quarterback, they could go Kyle Pitts, they could trade out of the pick. Pick a scenario to you that is most likely.
Very much likely Kyle Pitts. That's kind of the talk around the league right now, is that most people are expecting Kyle Pitts to go for, barring some crazy offer from another team. I don't expect them to go quarterback at four, and I don't expect them to get the type of offer at this point, from what I'm hearing, that they would be willing to take. So I would say very, very strong leanings toward Kyle Pitts at four.
Now, where does the draft pick up? Does the draft start at eight with Carolina? You know, saying that they can get back, move back, and get more picks, or does it start with Denver? Who's moving up and who's moving out?
I mean, honestly, like, I think things really get crazy at five, depending on what the Bengals do. Like, I guess, you know, the expectation, what do we even think they're going to do? It feels 50-50 to me. Did they go Penei Sewell?
I got Chase.
Or did they go Jamar Chase?
I got Chase.
Okay. So if they go, if they don't go Chase, which I'm with you, and they go offensive tackle with Sewell, doesn't that in itself throw things into a kind of a, I guess then the Dolphins go Chase, so that just flip-flops? And then what happens with Jaylen Waddle? I've heard that there's teams that are very interested in Waddle at this point. So I'm with you. I mean, I think it really does pick up, especially from a trade standpoint, around 7, 8, 9, especially depending on what New Orleans decides. I mean, we're seeing reports that New Orleans wants to trade in the top 10. But it does, to me, it kind of starts with what the Bengals do if they go Sewell, if they go Chase there.
That's a new one. I hadn't heard that with New Orleans, if that's just coming. So what are they looking at if they're trading into the top 10?
So I think a lot of people are assuming that they're looking at quarterback, but from what I understand, that's not the case. If, you know, I think that we need to kind of let that one play out a little bit. You know, they really need cornerback. That, to me, is a position of major need in New Orleans, so that's something to watch as well. I would not just assume if they make that trade in the top 10 that it would be for a quarterback.
Jeff Darlington, ESPN NFL reporter. All right, Jeff, with that being the case around 7, 8, 9, which of these following teams is most likely to trade up for a quarterback? Not in necessarily into the top 10, but just for the guy that they feel might slide a little bit. The Patriots, yeah. Washington, the Bears, Pittsburgh.
And I guess assuming Denver is out now, right?
Well, I mean, you can't assume anything, but if somebody's going to move up thinking even that Denver might take somebody, you know, Carolina's not going to because of what they just gave up for Darnold, you would think.
I think it's going to be dependent on 49ers and Lance and Mac. Like New England, to me, I understand that they are very clearly in the hunt for a quarterback. They went to like every single pro day, including Trevor Lawrence, because they wanted to have a full landscape of this quarterback class. I still have a tough time, probably because of lack of precedent. We haven't seen Belichick have to go get a quarterback in 20 years. I have a tough time seeing him making a major leap. But certainly from a need standpoint, the Patriots make the most sense. I'm so fascinated to see how Belichick approaches this one.
You know, we talk so much about, I'm so tired of talking about these offensive players, these quarterbacks. You know, I feel it's so disrespectful not to talk about the other side of the ball almost as equal. In your opinion, right, who's the best defensive player in this draft?
Well, I mean, look, obviously I'm between Surtain and Horn, but I think, like, Horn to me, I don't know, man, if I was building a team, like, I love that guy. Like, I just love the kind of the swagger that he comes with. I'd have, if I was picking one of those two, I'd have a tough time going against Horn, because, I mean, they're both going to be, in my opinion, Pro Bowlers for the next decade, both Horn and Surtain. But I think I would go with Horn if you were giving me the pick between the two.
Now, take out the back injury. Is Farley the most talented and the most intriguing?
Is Farley?
Yeah.
I guess so. I mean, I'm still, yeah. I mean, but it's tough to take that out of the play, especially in a year like this, where you just don't have as much information as maybe you normally would. So to me, I understand the hesitance. I get it.
Jeff, last one. Has there been anything at all, even whispers regarding the Deshaun Watson situation and whether or not he's going to get traded or if he's even going to end up playing early in this season?
So, you know, it's funny when you guys were asking me, like, who else we should be watching to get traded. We 100%, I mean, think about that. Like, a couple months ago, that there would be a team right now, we'd be like, that would be the news of the day. That's the storyline. Mm. If it hadn't already happened, it would be, where is Deshaun Watson going to end up by the end of today? But no, it's not going to happen. Teams are just, there's just, speaking of information, there's just not enough information right now about his immediate future. There's just no way. By the way, there's also no way that Houston wants to trade him right now, because they're not going to get as much as, you know, they were going to get a month or two ago. So it is the most bizarre and fascinating storyline of the offseason, without a question, is Deshaun Watson. And we should be right now talking about where he's going to end up. Instead, we're wondering whether he's even going to start the season on the field.
Nuts. Absolutely nuts. Jeff, it's going to be wild tonight. That's for sure. Enjoy it. We appreciate the insight.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you both.
Jeff Darlington, ESPN NFL reporter, joining us via the Goodyear hotline. I can't foresee when that is remotely going to play out here.
Yeah, who knows if he even plays this year, man, because what happens is it doesn't. The judicial system doesn't move at your pace. It moves at theirs, right? And, you know, right now it's all civil, but conduct detrimental in the commissioner's exempt list is a real thing, and Deshaun may be on it for the entire year. So, you know, that would have been the biggest story, right? Because this is when things get moved, where, you know, Deshaun saying, hey, I want to be gone, and you get the right package and you can get two first-round draft picks for him and all that stuff. But not to be said, man, but, you know, when you're talking about, to me, the most interesting thing is the guys that have the injuries. Because for every Marshon Lattimore who got in the league and the knee just could never be healthy, you got a Willis McGahee who gives you 10 strong years coming off of one of the most devastating knee injuries, you know, in a bowl game. And for me, where those guys play, at what point do teams say, man, listen, I know he has health issues, but, man, the talent is just way too good. You think about Phillips with all the concussions. You know, you think about Farley. You know, my favorite player is Davis, the talented safety from Syracuse. I think potentially he's the best safety in the draft. You know, and I look at things differently, so I'm not Mel Kiper and I'm not Todd Machet. What I am is a former football player that's been around some of the greatest defensive players to ever play the game and some of the most talented defenses, you know, that finished number one 4 or 5 times in my career. You know what I mean? I know talent when I see it.
888-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Your calls now on exactly what your team's going to do. To the medical thing, though, I was talking to a talent evaluator in the league this morning. And when it comes to the medical situation, the records, everything that has come in, it was described as a, quote, blank show. An absolute blank show. That they are literally waiting to get information up until today, hours before the draft on medical thing. So think about this for a second, right? You don't get to have your own doctors look at players at all.
Yeah.
You have the league that had only 150 players that came in as part of their quote-unquote combine for medical examinations. Not of all made the trip because of COVID. So then you're trying to get players to go see doctors in their area, to go get imaging and scanning in their area and get it from an independent doctor and trying to just corral all that information.
Right.
And I'm going to give you a guy that I feel awful for because this is going to hurt him. Landon Dickerson from Alabama, the center, is a tremendous football player.
Yeah.
But he's basically had every injury that you can have. It would have hurt him to begin with, but he's had a couple of torn ACLs.
Oh, yeah.
He tore his ACL in the Big Ten championship or in the SEC championship game this year. And this guy is so good and such a good center and so smart and an outstanding guy, yet he could slide well into the second round. And it's going to be a high-risk guy for anybody that takes that kind of high-level offensive lineman. He would have been an easy mid-first-round type guy without at least two of these injuries that he's had.
Some of these scouts and some of these general managers are happy that that's the case. They're happy with all this chaos with the unknowns because if you have a great scouting department and you invest and you got guys that were watching these guys before.
Well, this is all about relationships right now.
That's what I'm talking about, right? You can make these phone calls. You have these pipelines. That's why it's so important, right, to be able to have pipelines and be able to have contacts where you can get the real and that people are going to be totally honest with you. And that's why this sports is all about relationships, man, because you're talking about being able to get steals. You're talking about getting 10 cents on a dollar, you know, on players that are going to be the building blocks and the foundation of your squad based on your insider information.
Think about this for a second. You could have players over the next few days that get drafted that could come in and fail their physical.
Come in and have to get surgery.
Yeah. Absolutely nuts. 888-SAY-ESPN. Let's hit the calls. John in Ohio up first. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. John A.
How we doing?
Great.
Very good.
Good, good. Fellas, what in the world is going on with Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman? What is that? I mean, you guys have to see that just seems like such a problematic relationship.
There's no question it is.
It's almost just you can view how toxic it is when you watch the games. You can see the discord on the sideline. You can see that, well, we don't know who's going to be here next year, so let's wing it.
You know, one of the most respected Philadelphia reporters, Ruben Frank, said this yesterday on Mark Farzetta's show in Philadelphia, that when you go to the park, and thanks for the call, when you go to the park and you see a dog on a leash, and then you see a dog on the 50-foot leash. The dog on the 50-foot leash is Howie Roseman right now. Because that leash is so far gone, that relationship is just staggering. And, you know, you hear so much about the idea that Howie Roseman has undermined other guys who were seemingly better football guys than him and is constantly in a protect-your-own Keister-type mode.
And that's how it goes sometimes. Yeah, it's so important to have synergy. I mean, you heard Peterson. That's maybe, you know, we would blame Peterson. You know, he put the backup quarterback in. Maybe he just wanted to mess up the future of the team on his way out. Like, here you go. Let me, you know, put him in. Who was the guy he put in? I forgot his name, the quarterback.
Jalen Hurts?
No. After that.
Oh.
They had a chance to go to the playoffs.
The Eagles?
Yeah.
This past year? It was, this is how bad it's gotten.
I feel like Doug Peterson was trying to sabotage on the way out.
Nate Sudfeld. Indiana legend.
Nate Sudfeld didn't even bring his helmet out of the locker room. He had a cap like, me? I'm in? You sure? Okay. Right, and that's just how it's been, man. It's like, listen, they mortgaged the future for the Super Bowl, and they just have a horrible salary cap. position. So they have an aging roster. Last year they missed out, you know, horribly with Jalen Reagor. Like, come on, man, what are you doing? So now they have to try and go out and address the position again with maybe Devontae Smith or Waddle, whoever falls, because they didn't get it right last year. They could have had Jefferson. And it's funny because it's the thing floating around, the video floating around of them actually, of Minnesota actually laughing when they made the pick. And they're like, man, hurry up, turn our pick in. I cannot believe these dudes just got to draft the Reagor.
Instead of Justin Jefferson.
And it was funny.
Wow.
And it turned out to be exactly the wrong pick.
Bill in the Bronx up next real quick. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. Billy.
Carlin, you're the man. Bart, what's up, man?
What up?
I wanted to know, 0% being the worst, 100% being the most likely, do the Jets move up? And if they do, how far up?
I don't think they have to. I mean, I think it's going to be some great players that's falling. And I get more excited because I believe in Joe Douglas. I believe in, the scouting department. You know, they have invested heavily in it. I believe that they're going to find some great talent in the third round. And they have, you know, third round picks. I see them moving up and trying to get three picks in the third round. When you think about some of the potential guys that are going to fall, understanding that, you know, they may have more information on the medicals. So I'm not moving up at all. I'm letting great players fall to us. If anything, I'm moving back maybe even in the second round, that 34th pick. Somebody want to come up there to maybe get one of these quarterbacks. You know, early in the second round is always where like the Mike Davis of Stanford or Kyle Trask, where guys want to move up and they're willing to mortgage their future and give you a lot of picks. You know, if you can do that, man, like you can fleece a team in the second round. It's harder to fleece them in the first.
We are rolling, and you know what? So much great insight, so much great input from the callers. We'll get you in more at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 on your teams, what they're doing. Awesome stuff from Jeff Darlington, who gave us the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Up next, the best pitcher in the game cannot buy a run. Has he finally reached his breaking point? That is next, right after Bart tells you about our friends from Home Depot.
Spring makes all things new, and the Home Depot makes all spring things possible. Start a garden, refinish a deck. Use the Home Depot mobile app and put over 2 million products in the palm of your hands. Some ready for pickup in as little as 2 hours. Oh, and if you don't have the tools you need to get the job done, then the Home Depot Tools Rental Department does. Download the Home Depot mobile app to get started today. Bring it on, spring, with innovative help from your friends at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Hahn.
ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance, offering coverage options as unique as your business. Progressive covers companies of many sizes and specialties. Learn more at progressivecommercial.com. Chris Carlin in for Alan Hahn. It's Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, as always presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear via the Goodyear hotline. Right now, it is time for Audiophiles. All right, we heard Mark Sanchez earlier talking about Zach Wilson reaching out to him to get his advice on how to handle New York, and pretty smart move on Wilson's part. Sanchez respected it, but what about the actual advice that he gave him? Here is Sanchez.
one of the most important things I talked to him about was the size and the brevity of this city and like what it really means, because everybody's like, oh, well, New York is just bigger and it's crazy. Well, you got to kind of unpack that, right? And I said, the most important thing is you got to be comfortable in your own skin. You got to know who you are. And I think New York taught me a lot about that, right? Because you're a young kid, 20, 21 years old, and you get drafted, they give you $50 million, and overnight you're expected to have the discernment of a 65-year-old Supreme Court justice, because now you're the face of a franchise. And that doesn't really work like that, right? That's pretty unrealistic to expect something like that. So there's a growth process that goes into this kind of stuff.
That was Mark on KJZ this morning. I personally never drew the correlation between Mark Sanchez and his 65-year-old Supreme Court justice, but Mark would certainly know about it. And look, you're coming from Provo, Utah.
Yeah.
To New York City to be the face of the franchise, and you're just the latest in a long line to do it. Man, trying to be that self-assured at 21 years old cannot be easy.
Yeah, you just think Mark was in the limelight. He was in L.A., you know what I mean?
So,
yeah. And it was big for him to come in. I mean, he did date Evelyn LaGoria. Wasn't she 60?
No, not 60.
I'm just flat. He thought he was an old man. He was dating Milf.
He got around. He certainly got around. But look, I mean, there were videos popping up of him dancing shirtless. It was all over the place.
He loved Broadway. Listen, everything Mark did, you just do the opposite.
Didn't you go to the ball with him, the Met ball with
Sanchez? No, that was Tebow. That was the other diva.
Went with
David Hasselhoff. David Hasselhoff running through the rain at training camp for the cameras in slow motion.
If you're talking to Zach Wilson today about New York, what are you telling him?
Well, I'm telling him just come in, you know, keep your head down. I think really Sam Darnold had the perfect temperament for New York. He just didn't get an opportunity to turn it around. You got to be one of these guys like Mark Sanchez, Eli Manning. You know, you got to make sure that you stand up to the camera. You always own up to your mistakes. You put it on yourself. Don't deflect and put it on your teammates. Don't make excuses. Just keep getting better and try and limit your mistakes. But you don't want to come out here with some type of brash bravado about what you're going to do and what you're going to do to the league, because it bites you in the butt.
All right. Up next, you've got Falcons GM Terry Fontenot on what is now widely assumed the pick at 4 to be Kyle Pitts.
He is a special player, and I would say, and there's a lot of players in this draft like this, but he's also a special young man too, just if you look at his makeup, even being only 20 years old. So he is a very talented player. But there are a lot of good players sitting right there at that spot. We're going to be looking at a lot of very talented players, and we just have to weigh it. So I wouldn't say you can or can't take a specific position at a certain point. I would just say we have to evaluate the man and evaluate the skill sets and determine what's right for us.
Can I throw something out there that has not been talked about enough? Don't the Falcons need help on defense? A lot of it?
Unless they just want to be the Houston Rockets or the Nets.
The Nets?
They just want to outscore you.
Yeah, they can't put up 140 every week. So here's my point. If you're in that spot, and you're Terry Fontenot, and you have a chance to move back and get a lot because so many people are salivating over the chance to get Kyle Pitts. Wouldn't you do that and load up?
Depends on how far. I mean, I'm not dropping out of the top 10, because after the top 10, I believe your elite players, especially like offensive players, aren't available. If I can move back to 10 and get a second-round draft pick where I can use that to maybe move back up in the late first round and I can double dip, then yeah. But I'm not moving back out of the top 10, because outside the top 10, you're not getting a great offensive player.
I'll give you one thing I heard this morning that is going to be very interesting. Watch the teams that are in win now mode. And by that, I mean, look at the NFC East, look at the NFC West, look at the Chicago Bears, and watch the teams that are not necessarily lined up to win this coming year. And they're going to be out there trying to take advantage of those win now teams and get high picks for next year, because there is so much more certainty around the players in next year's draft.
Makes sense, right? You know, you can go through a full evaluation process. You can have your scouts on their campus, right, walking through their campus throughout the year. So you can gather more information so that when you take these educated guesses, you can be a higher percentage decision maker and you can make better decisions because you have more you have more information to process.
Then there's Jacob DeGrom. Nope. 6 innings, 1 run last night. And in a stunning turn of events,
I gave up a hit.
New York Mets did not score one single run for what? Jacob DeGrom.
Jake is something like, he's like lost like 10 games when he's given up like one an ERA or something like that. His ERA is underneath one. Lindor, come
it's
on.
Point five. It's Dom skyrocketed.
Smith, Dom Smith, come on, man.
His ERA skyrocketed last night to .51.
Yeah, he needs to take a pay cut.
Well, here is DeGrom on whether or not he's reached his breaking point.
I know we talk so much about run support with you, but you know, you've given up 2 earned runs this year. You've lost both of those games. You know, at what point does it just beyond frustrating, just kind of boggle your mind that you run into that so often?
Yeah, you know, I try not to think too much about it. Like I said, I'm more disappointed that I wasn't able to make pitches there in the second inning. You know, I was trying to battle through, but just left some balls over the middle of the plate that got hit. So that comes down to me controlling what I can control, and, you know, I didn't do a good job of that in that second inning.
So not only are you not scoring runs for the guy, but then he has to be out in front of the cameras after the game taking the hit, which is what he's doing. Every time he's out there and they lose these games, he says, yeah, I made some bad pitches in that second inning when I gave up one run.
Apologize. And the dude's hitting like 400. Dude's hitting like 400.
Well, yeah, it's on him. He didn't hit last night.
he's driven in more runs. This is getting comical, man. I don't understand it.
But before last night, he had driven in more runs, 2, than he had given up earned runs this year, 1. Before last night. And now, as we said, his ERA is at a whopping .51. Wow. Barton Hanna on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus is brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. You have heard all of the mock drafts. Well, not quite all of them. It is a lightning round top 11 mock draft for Bartholomew Quintavious Scott. This is what we call definitive, and it is on the way next, along with your final thoughts on your team and who they're taking at 888-729-3776, 888-729-ESPN. Chris Carlin in for Alan Hahn. It's Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Bart and Hahn.
If you've missed any portion of the show, you can always find both hours of Bart and Hahn posted daily as a podcast, available wherever you listen to podcasts. Chris Carlin in for Alan Hahn. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. You have heard all of the mock drafts, all versions of the mock drafts. Now we give you what you really need, and that is Bart Scott's top 11, very specific, mock draft for tonight. He will, of course, be part of ESPN Radio's coverage of the draft with Al Duncan, Kevin Negandhi, Ian Fitzsimmons, and Mike Tannenbaum, all beginning at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, I love this music.
Give me the music.
Grew up loving this music. Okay, there's no suspense at number one. We know the Jacksonville Jaguars going to take Trevor Lawrence, so I hope they don't give us suspense and run the clock out. Just hurry up and make the damn pick. I got stuff to do tomorrow. All right, we got the Jets also At number two, no suspense, Zach Wilson. Then at number three, this is what we've all been waiting for. You moved up from 12 to 3, and you say, okay, we want Mac Jones. Mac Jones is ready to play right now. Trey Lance is the smartest in the draft, right? So who's in the middle? Who's the marriage of both of them? Justin Fields.
Oh, wow.
Justin Fields becomes number three. So now Atlanta Falcons, they're on the clock. Should they move out? They have a lot of holes to fill. Not at all. They're going to trade Julio Jones later today to the Baltimore Ravens. So you have to replace him, much like how Ronnie White replaced Julio Jones. Julio Jones will be replaced by Jamar Chase.
Right,
Jamar Chase is going to be there, right? At number five, this is where it gets sticky. Everybody wants them to take protection for Joe Burrow, but I don't believe so because, remember, they signed Riley Reiff in the offseason. They already have Jonah Williams, who's the 11th overall pick. You're not going to move him over. He's the 11th overall pick. You're already investing in the offensive line. Kyle Pitts is number five. Then we go to number six. Number six, I think it stays right there. Get a weapon. You get Jalen Waddle. Number seven, everybody in Detroit is trying to figure out, what are we going to do? Well, you got a coach that's talking about biting ankles and Achilles. So if he's talking about biting Achilles, he's talking about running the ball and being physical. And Dan Campbell, I think he takes the best tackle in the game, Rashawn Slater. Yes, he's the best tackle in the game. Don't get it twisted. And now we have our first trade at number eight, the Carolina Panthers trade with New England. New England comes up and Josh McDaniel finally gets his quarterback of the future. He gets a big arm guy and he's going to go and the New England Patriots are going to take Trey Lance at number eight. Then it starts a trickle-down effect, a little run on quarterbacks. Denver says, hey, we just got Teddy Bridgewater. He'll be a great mentor to Mac Jones. Wow. So now the Dallas Cowboys on the clock. They need defense. But you know what they also need? They need to protect their investment. And that investment is Dak Prescott to the tune of $42 million and some change, 75 cents, I believe. They have to protect them. So to do that, guess who's fallen? Oregon's Penei Sewell. Because Tyron Smith, you can't depend on him. He costs a lot of money. He's always hurt. He's like in a good exotic car. Check engine light's always on lately. So we got to get rid of him. We're going Penei Sewell at number 10. Oh, Philly special. Okay, they got it wrong last year.
Well,
so they're going to get it right.
Giants.
Oh, the 11. Giants. Oh,
Giants at 11.
Oh, the Giants at 11. Oh, I messed up. The Giants at 11. The Giants are going to take Devontae Smith. They're going to get a weapon for Junior Whopper Hands. Okay, Junior Whopper Hands, where are we at? We're at 11? We're at 11. So 12 we go. Philly. Okay, Philly's going to mess it up like they always do. So they're going to come out. Let's say they take Terrence Marshall. They get an Alshon Jeffries clone. They're going to take him way too early. We had him picked. Maybe with Baltimore, they get a big weapon for Jalen Hurts, you know, to go opposite of Rieger, who's supposed to be the fast guy. Okay, bam. Here we go. We go down to 13.
Oh, we're still going.
We're going to 13. We're going to go with the Chargers because I made the trade, so now I got to figure it out. So we're going to go down to the Chargers. The Chargers are going to take, I don't know. They're going to take Elijah Vera Tucker, and then we're going to go to Minnesota. They're going to take Jalen Phillips. And finally, we finally get to see who Carolina picks. They're going to take Christian Darrisaw to protect Sam Darnold.
Outstanding. You could certainly play that back. And I hope you were busting out the pen and trying to keep up because he was absolutely motoring through and then, you know, kind of making it up toward the end. But that's all right. That's all right. It doesn't mean that it's not going to happen. I only have one prediction tonight, and I am setting the over-under at 8:12 p.m. 8:12 p.m. for when we see the Jets' miserable draft pick montage. We see it every year on the draft. Extra early this year with the Jets with the second pick. It is all tonight, ABC, ESPN, ESPN Radio, the draft. That's right. Be here for it. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Holla.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.